No one likes to think about the planning for a long-term sickness down the line, but not only is that beneficial for you and your family, it also makes good fiscal sense. Here with more on how to take advantage of the current long-term care option season, open season rather, and other post-tax day tips is Arthur Stein, certified financial planner with SPC Financial in Rockville, Maryland. Art, good morning. Great to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back. Thank you.
So open season is now for long-term care. What are the financial reasons that people should look at this?
Well, the financial reasons are that long-term care, as you say, can be very expensive. The average cost of a nursing home in the Washington area is about $260 a day or more. The chances of needing long-term care are extremely high. Approximately 70% of the people who reach age 65 are going to need long-term care at some point before they die. It's not unusual for someone to need long-term care for decades. It's not typical, but it's not unusual. And, you know, so if you're spending $80,000 or $90,000 a year on long-term care and you need to spend that for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, for lots of people that would completely wipe out their savings and investments unless they're covered by a long-term care insurance policy. Because it's important to point out that health insurance does not cover long-term care. It might cover a certain amount of short-term care. Medicare doesn't cover long-term care. Now, the importance of the current open season for the federal group long-term care insurance policy, the people it benefits are current employees, their spouses, and same-sex domestic partners. And the benefit is that it's going to be easier for them to qualify. They have to answer fewer medical questions during the open season than they will have to after the open season and than they did before the open season. So for people who have, for instance, severe diabetes or currently have cancer, being treated for cancer, severely obese, HIV positive, they cannot, outside of the open season, get a policy unless they're a new employee, like they just started work within 60 days or newly eligible.
Well, something you said really stuck with me just now, and that is that the chances are that you're going to need it. The chances are extremely high, which surprised me, but then I'm not going to ever turn 65 and I'm going to be healthy forever. And that's what I think a lot of 20 and 30 somethings might be thinking too. Nobody thinks of this stuff that early on. So tell us why we should, and what, I mean, just make some sense to those who probably are going, yeah, eventually. You know what I mean?
Well, when you do apply and get approved for a policy, the amount that you're going to pay is going to be based upon the age at which you apply. And so you want to apply as soon as possible, because at an earlier age, it's a lot cheaper. And also, you're more likely to get approved because, you know, most of us are never going to be as healthy as we are today. And lots of people don't because, you know, Amy, they're thinking like just what you said, that I'm never going to be 65 and I'm going to be healthy forever. And in fact, the opposite is true. Most of us are going to reach 65 and most of us are not going to be healthy forever.
We were speaking with certified financial planner Arthur Stein. So if that percentage of people will need it and a certain subset will need it for a long time, how can they offer premiums that are low? It sounds like basically what you'd be doing is just prepaying for your own needs.
Well, yeah, and that's not true, Tom. The policies are cost effective. It is insurance, even though a much higher percentage of people will need the benefits. They're not going to need it for longer periods of time, and the insurance companies are very good at, you know, taking current premiums, investing them, knowing how much they will be paying out in benefits, and being able to set premiums that allow for them to pay out those benefits.
So it's a good deal relative to, like, saving up for your own.
You cannot save for long-term care insurance and make it a better deal than buying. You cannot save for long-term care and make it a better deal than buying long-term care insurance. Long-term care insurance is always going to be more cost-effective. And just one thing to point out is that with long-term care insurance, as soon as you get the policy, you have full coverage. If you start saving, you know, the first year you've saved up, you know, maybe a month's worth of benefits. And if you needed care, and about 40% of the people need care below the age of 65, you just really haven't done yourself any good.
We are talking with Arthur Stein. He's a certified financial planner. And one more thing we wanted to talk to you about, just shifting gears a bit. We've been talking about long-term personal care. Now we want to talk about long-term document care. What can I shred? I'm sick of the piles of paper in my living room.
Okay, well, tax documents should be kept for at least 6 years. And the reason is that in certain cases, the IRS can go back and look at, you know, returns that are 6 years old. Now, if there's fraud, they can go back forever. But none of your listeners will be in, you know, will be in that situation, I'm sure. And then it's a question of, you know, which documents to keep other than tax records. But again, just answering your question, with tax records, I would say once things hit 7 years old, then the receipts and the backup files can be destroyed. But I would always keep a copy of the tax return.
And for IRS purposes, say audit purposes, is it okay to scan those papers and have it electronically, or do you have to have the physical piece of paper?
Oh, no, you can scan them. You know, I don't think that would be a problem. Now, unless it's a signed document, like a deed or something like that, but that's not really a tax record. I've never heard of that being a problem. Now, then there are other types of documents, the lots of other documents we have, wills, powers of attorney, healthcare powers of attorney. You know, those should be kept in, for instance, a safe deposit box somewhere safe. But we also have to make sure that a qualified relative or friend knows where those documents are and has a key so that if something happens to me, either I die or I'm disabled, no longer can make decisions for myself, they have access to the safe deposit box. And, you know, those should be kept there forever. Then you also, I always recommend to my clients to make a list of their insurance policies and investments, properties, trusts, everything they have, and again, give it to a qualified relative or friend who might be helping them out if they could no longer make decisions or if they died.